Welcome to the Heritage of Faith, sponsored by Heritage Baptist Church in New York City, committed to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in an atmosphere of love. We seek to glorify God by leading people to salvation in Christ and encouraging believers towards spiritual growth by relating the Bible to their daily lives. Please stay with us for the next 60 minutes as Pastor Matthew Recker opens the Word of God so you could be encouraged to follow in the heritage of faith.
And this evening, we welcome you to the Heritage of Faith program, and may God's peace, power, and presence be with you to encourage you and strengthen you in these difficult days, in these stress-filled times. We need Jesus more than ever. We need the Prince of Peace to bring peace to our hearts and to the streets of our city in these days of mayhem and chaos. We need His peace. Those who have tears of weeping and those who have heard the shattering sound of gunfire that has taken the lives of men, women, blacks, Latinos, and whites. Police officer, citizen, every soul is precious in the sight of our God. And we need to pray. And so if you are broken and burdened about our nation, pray with me this evening as I pray on the Heritage of Faith. Dear friends, we need to turn back to God. We need to know Jesus Christ as our friend above all others. We need true revival, repentance, and faith in Christ. So many in our nation have feasted on the violence of entertainment. And now we are eating the painful fruits of senseless death. One week after the next week, it seems like there's a new murderous rampage. All kinds of things are being blamed, but we need to turn to God. The problem is ever a problem of the heart. The heart is desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things. We have erected an educational system that indoctrinates our children to reject God. You tell me if I'm wrong. We have become addicted. Addicted. What have we become addicted to? We've become addicted to sports, alcohol, money, fashion, video games, entertainment. We need Jesus. Would you pray with me? We need healing. Our streets are on fire. Our politicians are lost. Our law enforcement is under attack. Many citizens feel threatened. Lord, today, America needs healing and we need revival. O God, wilt thou not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you, Lord, in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, in wrath, remember mercy. Lord God, do not remove your mercy from our land. We are worthy of your judgment, and I believe, Lord, we are experiencing your judgment because of our turning away from you, because of our rejection of your holy word. But, Lord, blood is being shed revengefully and angrily and bitterly on the streets of our city. But we pray in the name of Jesus that men and women will know your blood was shed lovingly, mercifully, graciously, to save. Lord, man's blood is being shed to kill. It seems to have no purpose. But your blood was shed to save. It has all the purpose in the world. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Lord, thank you for your precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even shed from the foundations of the world. Thank you. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience? Thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses our conscience. Lord, man's blood is being shed on our streets as gunfire shatters our ears. And it seems people have no answer. Our politicians, our leaders have no answer. But Lord, your blood was shed because you are our only answer. People are committing violence because they're in despair. But Lord, your blood was shed to deliver. So Lord, help us to see you, Jesus Christ, as our only answer out of this mayhem, out of this chaos, out of the revenge, out of the anger, out of the bitterness, out of the pain. Help us to turn from our wicked ways, Lord Jesus. God, help us to get serious for you. Bind up the painful wounds. Give us voices that bring hope. And Lord, we ask for your miraculous and gracious intervention. As you did in the days of old, Lord, you're able to keep men back from sin. As you kept back Abimelech from touching Sarah, the wife of Abraham, you kept him back, Lord. You hindered him. You did not permit him to sin. Lord, would you miraculously, by your grace, intervene? Lord, we need you. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for our sins, God. Help those under the sound of my voice to turn to you. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's my heart's prayer tonight. I pray that God would give you a prayer for our nation. I pray that we would all seek him and turn to him. And tonight I want to speak to you on three steps out of despair. This is a message. If I were going to speak to the Congress of the United States, if I were going to speak to the United Nations, we need these three steps out of despair. We need Jesus Christ and his example and his power and presence to give us the strength to take these three steps out of despair. Here is what Jesus said, and we're in John chapter 13 tonight as we continue our walk through the Bible. Jesus said in John 13:15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Here, Jesus said, you will be happy. You will have a present and continuous real happiness if, and here's the if, this means there's something for us to apply to our lives. He says, you will be happy. That is a promise. That is something for you to lay hold of. Are you happy tonight? You will be happy if you do them. What is the them? What is the them? Beloved, the sequence of these things that we must do to be happy is first humility and then holiness and then comes happiness. That's the sequence. Those are the three steps out of despair. Happiness, holiness, I'm sorry, humility, holiness, and happiness. That's what this passage is talking about. The sweet, the amazing, the incredible, the mind-boggling holiness of Jesus Christ. Somebody has said, he who dies with the dirtiest towel wins. In other words, we live a humble life. A humble life that leads to three things that we're going to see tonight. Three things. If we're going to follow through on this sequence and have the happiness, we must. Because ask yourself this question. Humility. Where does humility arise out of? How do you have humility? What are the traits of humility? How can we be humble? Because we need humility. a humility that leads to holiness. Humility is humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then we need holiness, and then we'll have happiness. You know, the Beatitudes of Jesus, he talked about this. The very first Beatitude, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's humility. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If we're going to be happy, we have to be humble. And then the second Beatitude is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That is mourning, is a repentance over sin. That is holiness. Humility and holiness were the first two Beatitudes, and happiness is attached to both of them. Humility, holiness, and happiness. And where does it arise out of? How can we take these three steps? They arise out of three things. Love, wisdom, and service. And that's what we're going to see tonight in the life of Jesus Christ in John chapter 13 and verses 1 through 13. But let me throw the phone lines open here to you. Joni and Christy are here. We thank God for them being here tonight on this beautiful July evening, giving their time, their heart, their service to Jesus to talk to you. Now listen, I ask you, have you humbled yourself under the sight of God? Are you living a holy life? And are you happy? You say, I'm not happy. Well, take a step back. Are you living a holy life? Are you humbling yourself under the hand of God? That will lead to happiness. We're here to pray with you. We're here to encourage you. We're here to help you. We're here to share God's word with you tonight. 1-800-345-9622. That's the phone number. We would love to hear from you. Again, the number is 1-800-345-9622. Surrender your all to Jesus. Let us look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, on the day before Jesus' arrest, he washes the disciples' feet to provide them an extreme example of humility so that they would humble themselves like he has done. And in humbling themselves to serve one another in love. Jesus said, I have given you an example. That is a pattern, a copy, a model. Jesus is modeling for us in a radical way what it is to lead, what it is to love, what it is to have wisdom, what it is to serve, what it is to humble yourself, to lead others to a holy life, to a happy life. That's what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to humble ourselves so that we lead holy lives, so that we lead happy lives. By washing the feet of his disciples, Jesus himself performs the lowest form of servanthood that one could ever conceive or imagine. To wash someone's dirty feet in the days of Jesus was the lowliest form of servanthood in the home. The lowest servant in the house was relegated to foot washing. It's sort of like shoe shining today. And if you shine shoes, I'm not putting you down. Please forgive me. But this kind of servanthood requires no talent. It required no talent to wash someone's feet. They wouldn't say, wow, what a great foot washer you are. What school did you go to learn how to wash feet like that? No. It was a task that required no talent except a humble spirit. Foot washing was the work of an unskilled laborer. It was a boring task. It was a humbling, menial task. Yet Jesus did it as an example to model humility. So we're going to look at the humble heart of Jesus and how these three great character traits came out of his humble heart: his love, his wisdom, and his servanthood. And I want to play a song. This is a song from our own church family. This is one of the brothers in our church, our song leader, Brother Leroy Dawson. And he's singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus with Bill Bendelo. And so you check it out, because we need Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let him wash your feet. Let him lead you by his loving hands. Let him clean your heart. Let him shine His love upon you. May you feel His love in your soul right now, because He loves you to the end. As it says in John chapter 13, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them to the end. He loved them all the way to the ultimate degree. He loved them all the way to the end of His life, and He loved them to the ends of the earth. And He loves you that way, dear friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. If we could help you, pray with you, 1-800-345-9622, that's the number. Or if you want to call and speak to me about what's on your heart, maybe you're just broken and burdened about what's going on in our nation, and you just want to speak about that and share some thoughts about what is the solution to our nation's sickness, sinfulness? What is the solution? Give us a call at 1-800-345-9622. If you want to talk, if you want to pray, phone lines are open. You get to us. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Amen. Thank you, Leroy. Thank you, Bill. Two brothers in our church. By the way, if you visit Heritage Baptist Church, we'll give you a free CD with that song on it and others like it. You'll enjoy this CD. Just some good old-fashioned hymns and some new hymns also. And we'd love to have you visit our church on Sunday. We have a 10 a.m. Bible study, a 11 a.m. morning service at 490 Hudson Street in the heart of Greenwich Village, Manhattan. And come and check us out. Visit with us. We have a beautiful body of believers. And thank God, in this day and age of so much racial tension, we are a multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-class church, and we love each other because the gospel tells us so and shows us how. the gospel of Jesus, that we're forgiven by His grace and loved by His grace, and we're created by His hand, and we're image bearers of God, and so are you. We love you. We welcome you. No matter your background, no matter your religion, no matter what you're into, we welcome you. We would love to have you come to be a part and to fellowship with us at Heritage Baptist Church on Sunday. Wednesday, of course, we have our Bible study hour. But this week we have a special ministry outreach, and that's our Vacation Bible Time. So if you know any children, K-5 through the 6th grade, they are invited to a wonderful time of Bible, missionary stories, crafts, songs, snacks, Bible games. And so come on out this coming week. And that's from 6:30 to 9 p.m. And that's at 519 8th Avenue, 519 8th Avenue. And from 6:30 to 9 p.m. will be our Vacation Bible Time. The theme is Cowabunga. You should see how the place is decorated. It's like a barn in our church office. And so we want to welcome the children. We're going to go out and pick out up some kids. So pray that God will give us grace as we go to the Fulton Housing here, right close into the Chelsea area. Also from the Chelsea the housing up there on 26th Street. The Fulton Housing's on 17th Street. We pick up kids in the van. But you're welcome to come also if you're able to get on over this week at 519 8th Avenue from 6:30 to 9 p.m. That's room 807 at 519 8th Avenue. Okay. Before I get further into the message, we do have a caller. And so let me take a call from Samantha. And thank you for calling, Samantha. And you're on the Heritage of Faith program.
Hi, Pastor Matthew.
Hi. How are you doing, sister?
I'm okay. Yeah, I love listening to you. You're very encouraging. And I know you're a man of God and you speak for God. And you speak with such inspiration and such encouragement for believers.
Thank you. That's very
kind. And I came to your church. Yes, and I came to your church a few years ago and met you in person. And I really like listening to you. You're a man of God.
Thank you, Samantha. Well, I'm so glad that you were able to visit. And I'm so glad that you continue to listen, and I trust that God would use us to continue to encourage you, build you up in the faith. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing this, Samantha.
Okay.
So thank you for calling, and blessings on you, sister, okay?
Okay.
Okay. God bless you. 1-800-345-9622. That is the number. And we want to hear from you tonight. I want to speak just for a moment here about the servant leadership of Jesus Christ. And He says to us, if you know these things, that is, if you humble yourself, if you let me cleanse you so you'll become holy, happy are you if you do them also. So Jesus Christ exemplified the humility that He wants us to have. Now, where does that humility come from? It comes from love. Here, God's Word, speaking of Jesus, says of Him, having loved His own which were in the world. He even loved Judas and washed Judas's feet, though Judas would betray Him. He loved them to the end. That is, He loved them with an everlasting love, and He loved them without any wavering, without any inconsistency. He loved them to the end of the world. Love is the most powerful medicine in the world. This love is from God, agape. If we're going to be humble, we have to love. Love is first in Paul's list on the fruit of the Spirit, is it not? Love, joy, peace. And when Peter talked about character, when he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. That's agape. So whereas Paul put love first in the fruit of the Spirit, Peter lists love last, but that's only to emphasize its foundational nature. So you see, love is the sweetest fruit. It's first. And love is the king of character. It's behind everything we do. Love is deliberately desiring the highest good and the one loved. love is demonstrated by sacrificial actions for that person's benefit without expectation of return. Love is a choice. Love is a matter of conduct. Love is not just a sticky feeling. It's not a fickle emotion. It's action. And when I do right, happy are ye if you do them. If I love and do right, I feel right. You see, mature people do the right thing and then find happiness in the doing of those loving things. Happy are ye if you do them. That's it right there. Happiness doesn't come out of just feeling. Happiness comes out of doing. See, immature people allow their feelings to control their actions. They end up doing the wrong things and feel bad about it. Godly people are led by their will to serve God. They're committed to serving the Lord, do the right thing, and feel good when they do the right thing. So how are you living? Happy are ye if you do them. We need to love. You know, the problem in our nation begins in the home. We need to have loving homes. I want to speak to you dads to love in your home. Love your wife. Do not be bitter against them. To love your wife is the best gift you can give to your children, to give to your community. Love your wife and be totally faithful to her. Now, we're all sinners and we all fail to some extent. But husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect and honor, submit yourselves to your husbands. We need to get back to Bible principles in the home. With mom spending more time in the workplace, the role of the father has to adjust and adapt. No longer is the man merely a breadwinner. Now he's required to do more of the domestic duties in the home. A man must be more engaged in the role and in the lives of his children, especially if his wife is out working. The absent father is one of the biggest problems in America. I believe it's one of the biggest reasons why we're having the problems that we're having. This has led to an increase of couples living together because so many marriages are shattered by divorce. It's also given rise to the LGBT community to give them more access and legitimacy because of heterosexual marriages falling apart through adultery and through divorce and through shacking up. Why can't everybody just do what they want when it comes to their own morals? We're in a mess today. I believe it goes back to the home. It goes back to the father loving his wife. It goes back to the wife submitting herself to her husband. It goes back to the children obeying and honoring their parents. So we need love. We need love in our homes. We need to love our children. Dads, listen to your children. Share with your children. Set an example to your children. Speak words of blessing to your children. Don't curse your children. Don't put your children down and tell them they're losers or failures. Or jerks. Speak words of blessing to your children. Take time to nurture your children. Read with them. Wrestle with them. Play with them. I remember playing Barbies with my daughter. You know, I didn't really enjoy that. I would be falling asleep, you know. But she liked to play Barbies. I remember playing Legos with my children. My wife would read and read and read to our children. Oh, teach your children. Teach your children to work. Show them a work ethic. Give them jobs and teach them work. I remember I was at a security checkpoint in Indianapolis not long ago. I got a blessing at a security checkpoint, which is a miracle because I hate going through security and I don't get a blessing. I just like grin and I don't even grin. I just bear it. I don't know how you feel about going through airport security, but I don't think it's one of the favorite things that Americans like to do. Anyway, there was a nice family in front of me, a husband, a wife, two children, and I look when they were putting their bags through the laser thing to check what's going on in your bags there. And they had a whole bag of books. And I noted that to them. I said, wow, look at that whole bag of books. And you're going on vacation somewhere. They said, we read to them every day. I said, that's awesome. And I got blessed right there. We need to love our children. Speak words of blessing to your children. Nurture your children. Teach your children to work. Seek forgiveness from your children. If you've wronged them, shouted at them, cursed at them, failed them, if you've provoked them to anger, it's not wrong to admit when you've wronged your children. We're all going to mess up and fail and sin. And our faith, the faith of a Christian is not one of beating yourselves up and living with guilt. It's one of humility, forgiveness, and beginning again. So talk to your children. Be engaged. Be active. Be involved. Be loving. Government isn't going to solve this problem. It's not the policeman's fault if a man doesn't love his wife. A lot of police officers get called to domestic disputes. And I don't want to take sides on this, really. We'll have a caller. One of my friends has called. We're going to speak to you in just a second, Dal. You hold on, brother. Because you're a brother like no other. But we need Jesus Christ. And we need love. And we need to raise our children right so they do the right thing. We need revival. So that's my message to you tonight. That's my encouragement. Three steps out of the despair of our nation is humility, holiness, and happiness. And that kind of life arises first out of love. Second, we'll look at just a moment, wisdom. And third, out of service. But let's take a call here, and the phone lines are open. And let me just say, maybe you're a parent, and maybe you say, wow, I'm not doing the things that I should be doing in my home. I haven't been speaking words of blessing to my children, but I've been putting them down, calling them names, and cursing them out. Then repent. Then repent. Ask God to forgive you and go to your child and say, would you please forgive me? Don't push your child out the door to join a gang. Speak words of blessing. Take time to nurture. Teach your children to work. Seek forgiveness. Be a role model. And if you want us to pray with you, we'd love to pray with you. Christy and Joni, they love Jesus. They're here tonight to pray with you. Maybe you have a husband, a wife, relationship that's not going well. You want prayer? Call us, that we could pray that God will give you a humble heart, a humble spirit, to have love in your home. Okay, 1-800-345-9622. And Brother Dow, thank you for calling. You're on the Heritage of Faith.
Yes, sir.
God bless Pastor. You, brother.
Pastor, I tell you, I had tears in my eyes all week.
Yeah.
And some of the things that unfolded in our nation. And I thought about you, and the prayer that you opened up with was pretty much what I was going to call to ask you to do, to pray for the nation.
Mm.
And, you know, in addition to what you prayed, I would still want to pray for all of the families that lost people.
Yes.
Because every life is valuable to God. And
absolutely.
You know, I feel it from both ends. I have a daughter that's, you know, NYPD, a captain. And at the same time, I'm a black man, and I know both ends of it, and it's just tragic. And I just think we have to have justice in this nation. Justice, of course, you know, without Jesus, nothing can happen.
Yeah.
But from this side here, from what we can do, if we bring justice, I think that has a greater chance of bringing peace. But
yeah.
I just pray for those that lost lives. It's just so much bloodshed day in and day out in this nation. And I just pray that God will intervene as you have been praying.
Yeah. I mean, brother, I believe that in some ways, because of the moral wickedness of our land, that God has lifted up his hand. I mean, he gives them over unto a reprobate mind. And that's the mind of so many of our leaders and our justices. So how can there be justice if those making judgments are of a reprobate mind? That means they're incapable of making a moral judgment, you know?
Absolutely.
And so it's just, you're right, brother. We are in a mess, it seems, and it just every week it just seems there's another thing that happens. One week it's the terrorism from Muslim extremists, and then the next week it's a police officer who kills somebody, and then it just everything just the spark is lit again. You know, the match is lit, and the fuse is the fire's getting worse now when that match gets lit. It seems it's a terrible thing.
And I don't think, like I said, I think that, like you said, the only thing that we can do is pray. And this is in God's hands. You may be right. This may be judgment. This may be the beginning of judgment on this country. And what can we do as believers? We can just trust in the Lord and pray. And whatever he brings, you know, he'll bring us through it. It's a very difficult and frustrating situation.
Well, it says and, in Romans 1:32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, they know the judgment of God, but they just mock it and they just scoff it, you know, and that's our land when it comes to the moral direction as well, you know, and in the Bible, what's incredible to me is God used these kinds of nations, the same kind of what we would say are Muslims today. Well, he used these same kinds of peoples, whether Babylonians or Assyrians, to bring judgment to the people of God in Old Testament days, you know. And I see the same kind of judgment happening in our day. And we really do. And we need a revival, you know, brother.
And when you think about what happened in Revelation, when the people were being judged, there was, you know, when the people were being judged in Revelation, they were cursing. They were screaming and cursing at God.
Yeah.
They wouldn't, you know, even though they knew that they were receiving judgment, they still wouldn't, give in. They started cursing.
Yeah, it says they repented not. And even when Jesus comes back, they pray to the rocks to kill them rather than for Jesus to save them. That's how, you know, that's how hardened, that's how blinded, that's how reprobate. Those are people of a reprobate mind there. When Jesus is returning, at the very moment of his return, they're calling out to the mountains, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You know, and there's even mercy available, I believe, for anyone at that moment, but they just see his wrath. They just see the side of God they want to see, and not all of God who can be seen. Yeah.
Well, the only thing I can say in closing is, Pastor, is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Mm-hmm. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And that's what I say to all of those listening, because I really don't have any answers. I'm just like everybody else. I can only trust in the Lord and where he leads me.
Yeah. Dal, can I ask you to do this before we hang up? Because
sure,
I know, you know, and we've talked, and you've been, just to let the listeners know, you've been listening to me on the radio for a while. You've come to our institute, and we've become friends, you know, and we respect one another, and I respect you and love you, and I believe it's mutual, you know, just so the listeners know.
And, right.
But I would like for you to offer a prayer for our city as well, just for there to be calm. You know, just so that this kind of eruption would not occur, and also for our police officers, that they would do their job with justice and dignity and respect. You know, could you offer a prayer for our city and however the Lord leads you for our nation? Could you do that, brother?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dow.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes, Lord,
I ask, Father God, that you place a spirit of peace and harmony over this city, over this nation. Father God, that police officers would not use too much force and do their job and do it in a just way. And Father God, that those that are stopped by police officers, that they would respect the authority that the police officer has, and that situations wouldn't get out of control.
Yes, sir.
And that people wouldn't blame other people, just try to find solutions that would work. Father God, I pray that you would place a spirit of peace and harmony over this city, over this nation, that we could look at each other and love one another, regardless of a race or a color or ethnic background. No, we are all creatures of God. You created us all.
Amen.
And I pray, Father God, that we could respect and love each other and just turn to you, because you have the solutions. You know, there's so many people, politicians, that want to act like they have the solution. But, Father God, I know only you have the solution to our problems. And I pray that you will intervene and give us those solutions that we need, and that we would adhere to what you're saying.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Dal. Thank you so much, brother. That means a lot. I think that's the first time I ever asked anyone else to pray on this program. So,
oh, really?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
But that was beautiful, and I enjoyed. I know the listeners enjoyed praying with you tonight. God bless you and your wife, and you continue to be strong, Dad. We love you, brother.
And God bless you and your family. Everybody there at the Heritage Baptist Church, and I look forward to getting a chance to visit you guys very soon.
Okie doke, man. God bless you. Thank you, Dad.
God bless you.
Okay. Dad loves the Lord. 1-800-345-9622. What do you think? What do you think of what we're saying tonight here, dear friends? We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are open. Have some lines open. Can we pray with you that you'll have love in your home? And can we pray with you that you'll have wisdom in your home? Now notice the wisdom of Jesus Christ. It says, Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world to the Father. And then it says in verse 2, the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. He rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. So Jesus' humility comes out of his love. He loved his own. He loved them to the end. And Jesus' humility arises out of his wisdom, out of a wise perspective. And we can say it this way, Jesus knew what time it was. And he knew what his calling was. The word know in verse number 13, 1 of verse chapter 13, Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world. He knew what time it was. Verse 3, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. He knew what his calling was, that the Father had given all things into his hands. Do you know what time it is? And do you know what you're called to do? Then you're ready to humble yourselves and serve. The servant leader sees the big picture. Jesus knows with a wise discernment, with a perspective. You see, he has that ability to perceive how things are interrelated. In the spiritual sense, he sees life from his Father's point of view. He knew that his hour, that he should depart out of the world to his Father, had come. He knew that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he was come from God and went to God. So, you see his perspective. He knew the time. We need to know the time. Our life is short, just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. We need to know our calling. Life is service. Jesus knew that all things were given into his hands, and he was willing to serve. He knew that he was come from God. He knew where he came from. He knew his beginnings. The leader never loses perspective of where he came from, and he's thankful for the blessings of where he came from. Abraham Lincoln was a great leader because he always remembered the log cabin. You know, we all heard about that log cabin that Abe Lincoln grew up in. Well, he never forgot it. Isaiah 51 says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Isaiah 51 verses 1 and 2. See, he's saying, don't forget where you came from. Know your beginnings. So Jesus, it says, again, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he was come from God. He knew that he was come from God. And he knew that he was going to God. He knows his destiny. He went to God. So Jesus knew where he was going, and therefore he could serve. He knew time was short, and therefore he could afford to be a lowly servant. He knew where he was going, and so does the leader have that wisdom and that perspective. So do you know where you came from? Do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? Do you know what your talents and calling are? Do you know where you're going? When you know all those things, you'll have a perspective that will pulverize pride. And you can humble yourself and serve. And so you can take those steps that can lead you out of despair. You can be humble, holy, and then happy. When you love and when you have wisdom, you're ready to be humble, which leads to holiness, which leads to happiness. 1-800-345-9622. That's the number here tonight. Let me ask you this tonight. Are you living wisely? Do you know what time it is in your life? Do you know what your calling is? Are you serving? Do you know where you came from? And do you know your destiny? Do you understand the purpose of your life? You know why so many people live in violence? It's because they don't understand those things. They don't have the wisdom. of perspective from God. We need a wise perspective that will pulverize the pride of our heart and set us on a path to seek God. Can we pray with you tonight about this? At 1-800-345-9622. That's the number. And let's take a call from Ron. Thank you for calling, Ron. And you're on the Heritage of Faith.
All right. God bless you, Pastor. God bless you. And,
yes, sir.
Just an honor to be on the call, on the, you know, line with you. I tell you, I was just finishing up eating dinner with my family and jumped in the car to take a ride and, just turn the radio on. And I heard you talking about love and that's the answer. And I just believe that and have been praying that for a long time. And I just know that, you know, you hit it spot on and it's time for revival. And the Lord told me a while ago that the next revival that comes, it's not going to be one of healing, although healing might be part of it. It's not going to be one of power, although power will be part of it, but it's going to be one of love because we need love right now. And I just want to let you know that I'm touching and agreeing with you. I don't even know your name.
Oh, my name is Matthew. My name is Matthew. I'll tell you, it's Matthew, like the first book of the New Testament, and Wrecker, like a car wrecker, but I say without a W, you know. So I hopefully wreck the right things and not God's things, but the devil's things, you know.
Amen, amen. You're wrecking the devil's kingdom and you're building up God's.
So that's what we seek to do, brother. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling, Ron. It means a lot to us that you called tonight just to share that. And may God bless you and your family. And as you lead them with love and with wisdom, and that you will be able to. How old? You have children, by the way?
I do. I have four children.
Are they in the house or?
Three of them are in the house. One of them is about to go off to college away. And so we are, you know, certainly praying for him. And he made a decision to go to Bible college. And
we're
blessed by that, man. His heart is full. So
that's your oldest one? That's the first one to leave the house?
Not the first. Oh. The first one is gone already. She's nursing and you know, has children, but he's the next one.
This year, number two, and then you have two behind him then.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
well, let me pray with you, Ron. Can I offer a prayer for your family and for your son going off to Bible college? That's exciting.
Absolutely. And right before, I just want to say this one more thing, because as you were speaking, the Lord began to speak to me about justice. And the young brother that you, the other brother you had on, he said to me that we not only need justice, but we need righteousness. And justice without righteousness is not long lived. And we see that. And so many times people seek the justice, but it's the righteousness in this nation that we need. And that can only be imputed to us through Christ. So I just wanted to add that.
Amen. Amen. That's right. It is all through Jesus Christ. It says righteousness exalteth the nation. And that righteousness isn't just the good works, but it's God's righteousness imputed to us through Christ, through the gospel. Thank you for saying that, Ron.
Amen, amen.
Well, let me pray. Let me offer a prayer for your home tonight. Father God, thank you for my brother tonight. And would you just fill him and his dear wife with your spirit and with love in their homes. Lord, would you give Ron a great love for his dear wife, as I believe that a husband loving his wife is the greatest gift he could give to his children. So bless his home with love, and then let that love flow out to their children, Lord, as they lead them, as they guide them, as they show them through example and through their own lives, your love for them, dear God. We pray for their children to be saved and to just be fruitful in this life. Lord, bless their son as he's going to be going off to Bible college, and that you would just equip him for ministry and lead him and show him the path that you have for him, Lord, and that you might mightily use Ron's son, that next generation coming up,
hallelujah,
to stand for the gospel and preach Jesus Christ and the power of the cross, the power of his risen life, so that many will be saved through Ron's testimony, through his son and through his children, Lord. So bless Ron in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Rector.
Okay.
And you have another family praying for you, sir.
Thank you, sir. My blessings to you. God bless you. 1-800-345-9622. Here's the third thing we must have. If we're going to take these three steps out of despair, if we're going to take the step of humility, holiness, and then happiness, we're going to have that step of happiness. We need love. We need wisdom, and we need service. We need the kind of service that will meet the needs of others. You see, Jesus Christ rises from the supper. He laid aside his garments. He took a towel. He girded himself. He poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. It's interesting, that word pour, if I could just throw this in here, where it's the same word for how the devil put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. The word is literally throw. The devil threw a lie into the heart of Judas, and he took it in. And he betrayed Jesus Christ. So a lie was put into the heart of Judas. And the very time that the devil was putting this lie into the heart of Judas, Jesus was putting water into the basin, or throwing the water into the basin to serve. So what you going to do? Are you going to throw your life down to serve? Or are you going to just be passive and let the devil put lies into you, dear friends? Because he is a liar. He is a deceiver. He is a tempter. And he will put darts, flaming missiles of temptation and deception and accusation against us. And we need to hold up the shield of faith to quench those fiery darts of the devil. Judas didn't do it. So Jesus poured the water. He began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel. And then he comes to Simon Peter and says, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? Dost thou wash my feet? You're going to do this to me too? I don't think so, basically, is what Peter's saying. Jesus said, what I do, you don't know now. You don't understand what I'm doing, but you shall know soon enough. You shall know hereafter. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Well, Peter's a control freak. He just wants to control what Jesus is going to do. You're never going to do this. Jesus said, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said, Lord, okay, you win. Not my feet only, but my hands and my head. I mean, Peter just, that guy, he just goes from one extreme to the next. Jesus said, he that is washed needs not say wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you're not all clean. So what's Jesus saying here? Simply put, we all need the radical cleansing of a complete bath. That's salvation. That's our justification. That is the righteousness, as Ron mentioned, the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us. When we believe that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross for our sins, and that he died for us as the perfect, sinless blood atonement for our sins. I deserve to die for my sin, for I have sinned. All we like sheep have turned astray and gone our own way. But Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body to bring us to God. I believe that Jesus Christ died. He was buried and he rose again. And when I believe on him, I'm born again. His spirit enters into me and I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. Have you been saved? Have you been justified? Has the righteousness of Jesus Christ been imputed to you? We need this radical cleansing. And that's why Jesus says, he that is washed needs not save wash his feet, but is clean every part. You are clean, but not all. So Jesus is saying that you are clean, Peter, but not all of you were saved. Judas obviously wasn't saved. But we all need that daily cleansing. That's what Peter didn't understand here. That's what Jesus wanted to give Peter, a daily cleansing. He wanted to cleanse his feet of the daily dirt, because we all get dirty physically, spiritually. We get dirty. We need spiritual cleansing every day. We need to cleanse our hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so, do you have an eternal relationship with Jesus? Have you been forgiven and saved? And do you have daily fellowship with Jesus? Are you going to him for the daily cleansing? Okay, we just have a little while left, but I wanted to get through that. But Jean, you're on the Heritage of Faith. What is your question tonight, or your comment? June, I'm sorry, June. Yeah, June.
No, it's Gail.
Oh, Gail. I'm sorry, Gail. Okay. Yes, Gail.
Yes, a very good evening to you, Pastor. I'm calling in today. I just walked in from our evening service and realized that I'm getting a double portion of what my pastor spoke on today, the exact scripture about the servanthood of Jesus Christ.
Oh.
And my pastor even used my son to demonstrate the humility of Christ and his heart to servanthood. Although
he washed your son's feet?
He actually did it as a demonstration.
Oh, that's sweet. Okay, I got to let you go. Our time is up. Thanks so much for calling. Good night. God bless you all.
Thank you for tuning into the Heritage of Faith. We would be so honored to have you as a guest at our church. Sunday services are at 490 Hudson Street between Christopher Street and Grove Street in New York City. Again, that's 490 Hudson Street between Christopher Street and Grove Street in New York City. Bible study hour begins at 10 and Sunday morning fellowship services begins at 11. For more information or if you need help with prayer or encouragement, you may call us at 212-947-5316. That's 212-947-5316. You can also write to us at Heritage Baptist Church, P.O. Box 7925, New York, New York, 10116. You may also visit us on the web at www.hbcnyc.org. That's www.hbcnyc.org. Join us again next week at 8:30 p.m. for the Heritage of Faith, sponsored by Heritage Baptist Church. Until then, rejoice in the Lord.